Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. You're listening to Conversations with ANA. I'm your co-host, Angela. Today is Sunday, December 18th, 2022. Tonight's topic is Black Men, How Are You Showing Up in the Community? Part 2. With our special guest, the prison doctor. He will be discussing strategies for how he's helping troubled children and their families. To speak live on the show, make comments, or ask the guests or host questions, call directly into the show at 515-605-9322. Once again, that number is 515-605-9322. Also, for those who are listening through their phones, desktop, iPads, or laptops, and want to speak live with the host or the guest, they can call in as well. To follow us on Instagram, go to Conversation, that's Conversation with AA, and our Twitter is Conversation with AA. If you want to be a future guest on the show or have any topics or videos you want us to discuss, please email your request to conversationwithaa@gmail.com. Once again, that's conversationwithaa@gmail.com. So once again, I'm your co-host, Angela. Avon is your host, and our special guest is the prison doctor, Myron Fontaine. He's the founder of the Prison Doctor Organization, and some of you may have heard of him or know him from a couple of his videos that went viral where he made intervention house calls to discipline young boys. And just to give you a background of him, he has spent a lot of time behind bars at the age of just 19 when he went in. And the prison doctor has dedicated his life to mentoring at-risk youth to redirect them into a path of success. And I'm really impressed with his ministry. I'm really impressed with the work that he do in the community. So this show is to, you know, inform you guys of what's going on and what Black men are doing, and hopefully inspire other men to help out in the community. So once again, I'm your co-host, Angela, and we have Avon. Hello, Avon.
Greetings, Angela. Greetings, everybody. How you be tonight?
Yes.
Indeed. You know, I'm excited as well. And, you know, we're going to have a great show tonight, packed full of information and insight. So let's not waste any more time. And without further ado, we want to bring on the prison doctor.
You're unmuted,
sir, and you're on the line, and you're on the air with us, Mr. Myron Fontaine. How you be tonight?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We can hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear us?
Yes, I do. So thank you, first of all, for having me on your show. I'm very excited and appreciative to speak with your guests, your audience. So I'm hopeful that we all can share some information that will enlighten the listeners and move them into action.
Yes. Definitely. All right. So I've been watching. I watched a couple of your videos. Matter of fact, I had myself and my children watch some of your videos, and, you know, we was just laughing or whatever. And matter of fact, some of your videos, they said that I'm worse than you. So, and I'm a female. So that was a great thing, just to get that experience out so my children could see from another perspective of how other people are living in their houses as well. But let's answer a question. I would like for you to answer a couple of questions. Who is the prison doctor? You know, can you tell our audience besides me, you know, I'm giving you information, but who is the prison doctor?
Well, quite simply, the prison doctor is a man who cares about the youth and the problems ailing our society, and determined to do something about it. The prison doctor is a man who went to prison for almost or over 20 years of his life for vehicular armed robbery when he was a child, and came home and was disgusted by the things that he saw in his community and the just a lot of the weakness of our people, of men, just a total shock after spending that long in prison and coming home to seeing the failure of our community, and a lot of the problems is just really destroying our people, particularly our African-American people in particularly. But it is a very horrific thing that coming home after 20 years and seeing just how far down we fall. So I'm a man that just cares about our people and our children and is putting his life out there daily to save these kids from going to a place that I went for damn near half my life.
Okay, okay. Now, what was prison life like? I know it is not fun, but what was your experience in prison?
Well, it was horrific. I mean, as you can imagine, I mean, you know, I've got a young child, pretty much a young man going into prison and hearing a sentence, the judge slamming a mallet and saying 25 to 50 years, you know, in prison, you know,
right.
You know, for an armed robbery, when I've literally witnessed throughout my 20-year tenure, guys who would come into prison for much, much vile crimes and receive far much, much less time. I've witnessed guys come into prison for sexual misconduct or raping or molesting a child and would literally get out before me and then come back again and beat me home three or four times, you know, for assaulting a woman or raping a child. And I'm sitting in here for attempting or stealing a car. You know what I mean? Not justifying what I did because it deserved to be punished. It deserved. I shouldn't have did what I did. It absolutely was deserving of prison. But it did not deserve half my life in prison, particularly when I see the laws are so less lighter towards other offenses that I think the public would find much more severe.
Right. Okay. Wow. And I congratulate you on your growth and your experiences and, you know, just reaching out to the community. So, yes, thank you for that. Why do you think, in our community, right, why do you think that the young boys, you know, idolize prison life? Like, why is that like a badge of honor? If you go to prison, you know, your thoughts on that?
No, I can tell you the factual reality of it is because our children are misled on understanding what prison life is. One of the reasons why they're very brave and our kids are callous today and they don't have a problem with going to prison is because they think that is something cool to do. They think that is something that makes you a man. Is by going to prison and experiencing life behind bars, that when you come home, that it gives you a certain sense of credentials, you know, like you said, like a badge of honor to say that I've been to prison. You know what I mean? It almost makes them think that they're hard when they go to prison, when in actuality, it's what makes you stupid and soft, you know? So our children are just being misled on what life is about, the value of life. And when you have no value of life, then you have no problem with going to places like prison. And that's a lot of the reason why our children don't have a problem or fear of going, or even in some instances want to go and experience it, is because they don't really value their lives. They don't understand who they are as a people. They don't understand what it is to be a man. And a lot of that is for reasons that I'm sure we're going to talk about later on in this interview concerning the fathers. But yeah, it's just a total misunderstanding of what prison life is like and what being a man is like.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good. Yeah. We definitely going to talk about the fathers. Okay. What is the mission? What is the overall mission of the prison doctor program?
Well, the overall mission is to save lives. These kids are out here, they're dying daily at a rate that's faster than young soldiers lost their lives in the Vietnam War. We're losing more kids at a faster rate in a shorter time than even in war. And because of that, I feel it is my duty, it is my calling to save as many kids as possible. And that There's no race on that. I've been questioned as far as, you know, do I work with white kids or am I trying to work with black? Do I save, you know, white or black kids? And this is not a matter of color, of any of that stuff. This is a matter of just children. So that is my overall goal. My mission is just to save as many children and to instill them with truth, because a lot of our kids are being poorly misled on who they are and what they are. You know what I mean? Our kids are being disserviced greatly by a lot of the laws that's in this country that's being implemented on our children. They're being badly led astray. And so I'm trying to give these kids my little 5 cents of knowledge of what I know as far as being a man and instill them with some sense of truth so that they won't make poor decisions when they become into adulthood. So I'm just trying to spread my platform all across this nation and eventually the world to teach and educate and to mentor kids and prevent them from going to prison or meeting an early death. That is the sole mission of the Prison Doctor Organization.
Okay. I watched a lot of your videos, probably if not all of them. And one of the things that touched me, because I feel the same way, is when you said how you spoke about protecting our children and I'm paraphrasing it. You spoke about you told one young man, you said, listen, it's everyone's responsibility to keep you safe. You know, you said your mother, the community, like you gave the whole community, you gave individuals, you gave humanity, okay, that responsibility to keep children safe. And I think that that was so important because you don't hear that often. It's either, you know, these kids is, you know, they criticize the children, you know, everyone is, a lot of people are into individualism. And I found that to be very touching because I feel that way too. I feel that every child outside of my home is, I'm responsible for them as well, you know? So that was very touching for me. I would like to ask you, do you have any children?
Yes, I do. I have a son. He's almost 2 years old in a few more months.
Okay.
He's almost 2 years old in a few more months.
Okay. And what would be your strategies for raising him? What would be some of the strategies that you would use for raising him?
Yeah, I mean, with all, I would strongly suggest instilling truth into your child, not fear. You know, don't ever let your child operate in fear of anything or anyone, and instill them with truth. Just raw truth is what you need to give your child. That would be my biggest advice for a parent, is to give them lots of love, but give them truth. You know what I mean? Let them study and teach them to believe in themselves, teach them to love themselves, to know themselves. And if you can just instill that into your child, that would be the greatest service you could ever give a child. And let them use their own, you know, knowledge and wisdom as they grow, you know, into adulthood to figure things out. But you have to give them a foundation. So when you give your children the foundation of just truth, of sticking to truth, not afraid to speak truth, which is very, very problematic in a lot of our children today. You know what I mean? Very afraid to speak truth. That's why, you know, a lot of children, their first instinct is to lie, even as adults, quite frankly. You know, the first instinct is, you know, when it's something you get caught on or something that's difficult to speak about or something you think may hurt someone's feelings, you know, oftentimes the first defense is to lie about it or to not even speak on the truth, you know. And so I think one of the greatest things you can teach a child, particularly what I do with mine, is from a young age, I want to teach them truth, just raw truth, and not being afraid to speak it, to receive it, and to admit it. That is just something I see is very lost with our children, and it's become almost like a normal thing to lie. No one expects people to tell the truth no more, you know, and when we hear the truth, we deny it, we run from it, we're scared to speak it to other people, you know, for not wanting to hurt someone's feelings. So truth, that is if I could put that on a metal plate and nail it on everybody's chest, that is something I would absolutely want everybody to teach their children, is to stand on truth.
Absolutely.
Okay, yes. You mentioned that truth, right? And You are you aware that right now truth is kind of relative, right? Truth, you know, truth in one household can mean something different, and it means different things to different people nowadays. And,
absolutely.
And I'm talking about, you know, from LGBTQ to pedophiling to all kinds of things that, you know, to drinking and, you know, raising your children. So, you know, truth can mean something different, you know. And now truth is even more on the – it's relative, especially for the children. You know, it seems like the children could express this truth, and it might not be traditional, okay? So my question to you is, when you say truth, what is the foundation of your truth?
That is a wonderful question. See, I like questions like that. See, I like the let's get into it. I like that. Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, before you can judge something, right, you have to know a person's belief. So until a person tells you their belief, right, you really can't judge it. I have no problem sharing my belief. My belief is in God, right?
Right.
So, period, point blank. So when I speak of truth, I speak of a principle that comes from my creator, right? That's according to the text that I read and that I study, and I stand on that. So again, you're right. Truth is relative to a different religion, to a different race, to a different people, to a different country. It can be very much relative. But the other thing that we can base a basic truth on, right? Like, for example, nature, right? So we can base some truths just off of what we see and operate in nature, right? Things that just basic fundamental practices of life that don't change. It is what it is, period. So when we speak about, or when I speak about truth to my child about his belief system, dealing with, like you said, about, you know, transgender or gay people or whatever, mine is always going to come.
Uh-huh.
Mine is always going to come from my principles of what I believe in scripturally, through my belief in God. Period. Now, if a person doesn't believe that, you believe in Satanism or whatever, then you're going to go based on what that teaches. And, you know, that's what you want to do, fine. But when I speak about me and mine and those who are followers of God in the way that I'm speaking of, then they understand exactly the truth I'm speaking on.
Okay. So when you go into a household, right, and do you particularly know about people, I like to call it principle, morals, and values. And how do you approach that? Like, whether they are atheists or whether they're Christian, or that, it doesn't matter. Like, how do you approach that situation in different various households that you go into?
Truth. It doesn't matter. If that person is an atheist and they don't believe in what I don't change the basic principle of when I deal with children from a spiritual component. When I'm talking about God, I don't cut it in half. I don't chew it up and I give it raw. You understand? And I allow God to do what God does. And in 90% of the cases that I do these house calls, when I speak about the spiritual aspect about God, I really have a great success rate. So that's a conversation that maybe some listeners, if they dispute my methods or beliefs in God, then they should maybe have that conversation with God themselves, because I know when I implement God into these homes the way I do with the spiritual element that I use, it works darn near 100% of the time. But what I don't do is I don't compromise God. You know, we live in a country that uses God in almost everything. God is on the dollar bill. It says, "In God we trust." When you go to court by the damn statute of this world, the laws of this world, you got to put your right hand on the Bible and you swear upon the Bible that you're going to speak the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. When we pledge allegiance to this flag, we pledge allegiance to the flag under God and all these things where we use God constantly. But when it comes to the actual application of implementing what God says, we fall short. We have an issue with it. We compromise it. We want to tear it apart and make it fit into our perversion and our narrative of what we say it should be. But we don't stick to the basic standard of what we say when we say we believe in God. We play with this thing with God. It's like it's good for one moment. It's like we use God when it's helpful or good for us. You know what I mean? But when we want to do something perverted or something that, you know, we want to do because we just want to do it, we have a way of tainting the Bible or tainting the Word of God or the Quran or whatever you use to make it fit your perverted narrative. And see, that's the problem I have. See, that's why I challenge people and I ask the question, are we really believers in God? Do we really, whatever it may be? See, because we wear these crosses on our necks. We go and we stand and we get, you know, these, a lot of rappers and artists, we go and get these awards and get crosses on our neck. And we say, you know, well, thank God for this award. I want to thank my Lord and Savior. I want to thank Muhammad and all this stuff. But your lyrics are calling women bitches and hoes. You understand? Excuse my language. Bitch meaning female dog, hoe meaning a garden tool. So we use these things, you know, this God stuff when it fits our narrative. And I have a severe problem with that. Either you're going to believe or you're not going to believe. But we need to stop playing with God because God ain't going to play with us.
Right. Okay.
Amen. Amen to that.
I have a lot of deep questions, but before I do, I'm just trying to get into the, I'm just trying to go over some basic stuff. What is your definition? What would be your definition of a leader? And before I ask you that, right, I would like to quote something that Shahrazad Ali said, "The Black Woman Guide to Understanding the Black Man," in her book. Right. So it would be a 2-point question for you. What is your definition of a leader and do we still need leaders? But before I ask you that, I have something interesting that I read from there that she said about a lot of black men. She said black men, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing it, but black men tend to align themselves with political dogma of strong black men who are now dead. Okay. And, you know, they have a stronger connection with these, and they're great men, but it seems like it takes them away from what's going on today. And it like, you know, these guys are to be, you know, we should idolize them, but also I would think that we, you know, from even Harriet Tubman, you know, whoever our leaders are, it should inspire us. So what would you consider today to be, you know, what is the definition of a leader and do we still need leaders? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a leader is just one who guides. One who guides.
Okay.
A leader is someone who takes someone from one place and to another place, to a higher destination, to a greater destination, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that our leaders are not leading today, and that's one of the big problems. When we speak about the people from the past or how we, you know, a lot of people still want to talk to the people of the past and say that we should follow them or we should still listen to their words, this, that, and the other, that is very true because those people had wisdom. You know what I mean? Things have changed from that, from yesterday to today, but still those people had a lot of wisdom back then. They knew something that we didn't know. And there were a lot of great people who led the way and that are dead today. And that today we want to honor and heed from the past, the wisdom of the words from the past. And that's something that we have a problem with. Oftentimes we try to erase history. That's why they're trying to take it out of the schools and so forth. But we can't and we shouldn't forget the great leaders who died for our cause, who suffered that we may have a greater privilege today. We should never forget those people. We should never forget the W.E.B. Du Bois. We should never forget the Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, the Jesus, the Muhammad. We shouldn't forget those people. Those were great leaders. Dr. Martin Luther King. All those people were inspired. You know what I mean? And they were beacons of light showing people the way, how to get to from point A to point B. And today, unfortunately, a lot of us, we're still not getting to point B. We're still stuck at A. A lot of us have made great advancements. Don't get me wrong. There's been a lot of great advancements, but unfortunately, we are still behind the eight ball. We still have not reached that that level that we should have by now, particularly in the black community, because that's what we're talking about. The black community, we're more against each other today than we've probably ever been. We still don't have true knowledge of self. We still don't celebrate each other's successes. We still don't use our resources with our own. We don't do none of that stuff to help us rise to a degree. You know what I mean? I'm not with the this thing. I want you, my viewers and public, to understand that. I'm not with separation. You know, so when I speak about these types of things about black people in particularly, I still do not believe in the separate thing. But I do believe that black people need to pool their resources more so than what we've been doing, because every other nationality on earth does it better than we do it. You know what I mean? And when they do it, they're not really called racist or separatists and all this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So I don't think that it should be a problem where African-Americans should still learn to support their own restaurants, their own grocery stores, their own, you know, businesses to help each other rise. I don't think that is a bad thing to do. But I do believe in unification of all races and that we all should work together as a whole, because we are in the United States of America.
Myra, excuse me, Myra, can I ask you a question? Because I want to be clear on what it is you're saying, because the question was, do we still need a leader? I want to be clear on your position on it. Do we need a leader? Do we still need one? Let's start with that part first. Do we still need a leader?
Absolutely, no doubt about it. Absolutely. Again, a leader is nothing more than a guide that can take you from A to B. Our people are in such a condition today. When I say our people, I'm not just speaking black. I'm speaking as a community, as a nation, as a society. We are lost. We are in the wilderness, and we absolutely need a leader, a guide, someone who can point us in the right direction to lead us out. Now, I don't see many right now that are standing up leading us out. There's a few, right? There's a few great men out there who are worthy of being called a leader, that's doing great work, not getting the recognition or the help that they deserve or desire, and that's unfortunate. But we absolutely, in this day and time, need a leader, and that's even scriptural. I call my leader Christ. He is the most best leader you can have out there right now. Is just follow God, follow Christ, you know. So yeah.
And okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem. Okay, so and with that, so you say we still do need the leaders. So I want to ask this the follow up question is, so do you know of anyone or who would you consider to have good leadership qualities?
Mm-hmm.
Who is there anybody that you to mind for you that has good leadership qualities? And let's answer that, because I want to say something dependent upon what you say. So go ahead. Please answer that question for us.
Absolutely. Let me give you maybe two or three of them, right? One is myself. I consider myself a leader. My child listens to me very well, and I lead a lot of people. I have a lot of people that support me and believe in my words. That's why I'm very careful about what I say and what I do, and I try to walk in my truth. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. I'm a man of integrity, of righteousness. So I believe that I'm a very good leader. I also believe that people like Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam is a good leader for African-American people. I believe that. He has a lot of knowledge. A lot of people find him to be a separatist or a racist. I'm going to let them decide that. That's not my call on him. I would never say that about him, because I've studied him in depth. And so he is a very smart man, and he has a lot of great knowledge and guidance. I don't think no one can really dispute that. Quite frankly, a lot of people don't, because they know if they come against him like that, more likely he'll shut you down. I also believe that just following your scripture, I believe that Jesus is a great leader. You're talking about like living or dead. I mean, you know, there's just, are you speaking about living or dead? Does it matter?
Every aspect. It does not matter.
Yeah,
I believe
Jesus is a great leader. Following the word of God, you know, I think that is a great book. The Bible is a great book to study and learn. I also believe the Quran also is a great book to study and learn. Sometimes people get confused and they'll try to say, hey, well, how do you believe in both books? Well, I believe that there's truth in many books. And I believe that it would be ignorant not to study as many books as you can to learn, so you can decipher the truth for yourself, as opposed to just being closed-minded of things in life, like so many people are, and they'll just take their view or what they've been told, and they're afraid to venture off and study something else. It's almost like the Clydesdale. You know, a Clydesdale has is a horse that has blinders on its eyes. So the person that's riding it only can go, you know, the horse only go one way, the way the rider wants it to go, out of fear that if you pull the blinder off the left side of the horse, that the horse may veer to the left. Or if it pulls the blinder off the right side, the horse may veer to the right. So there's blinders on because the rider controls where that horse goes. Well, sometimes in society, I think a lot of our people are like that, where they're afraid to take the blinders off to look on the other side of the road, whether it's right or left, so they can make their own determination. They can use their own intellect that God has given them to make right decisions in life. And then maybe they won't need a leader. You understand? But right now, we're being ridden by somebody who's not leading us in the right direction. And I think we all know who that is. So, yeah, there's a lot of great leaders out there. But we need to give them more attention and more just more notoriety while they're alive, as opposed to when they're dead. Oftentimes, it's like, you know, when people die, then all of a sudden we want to read their study their books or their words of wisdom, and then we want to give them their flowers when they're dead. I don't believe that. We should give people their flowers while they're alive and acknowledge these great people who are in our midst today and acknowledge their wisdom, whether it's hurtful or not.
That is beautiful. You know, it is beautiful because you had answered my question, and I didn't even have to do the part two because I like the way you let it off. You said that you think that you're a good leader, and that is a beautiful thing, and that's what men, I would like to hear a lot more men say and feel that way about themselves, that they are leaders. And if they don't feel that way at this point, that they start grooming themselves to get there so that they can feel that and express that, you know, and out to the family and things like that. And so, go ahead. I want you to go ahead.
Because I think what we do, we put too much pressure on people, right? The people who are capable of leading, right? We want to make like the definition of a leader means he's got to be perfect, right? We try to put so much pressure on people and things to say, well, if he makes one mistake, if he fornicates, then he's not a leader. We shouldn't listen to nothing he says. You know what I mean? If he uses profanity, we should just discard everything else that he said that makes sense or that's factual, and use that one thing that's not, you know, perfect about that person to discredit his whole message. And see, that's a problem with people because we can't set that bar so high because none of us are God. You understand? We're not perfect. We are imperfect people. So just because a person may say something or do something that you may not like, does that necessarily mean that we should discredit the entire message or the entire stance that that person has and the knowledge or the wisdom that he's saying or the truth that he's giving? Should we discount? Should we do that to a parent? Should we call a parent who makes a mistake with her child because the parent smokes weed or the parent uses profanity or the parent does something obscene one day? Should we call that parent a horrible parent and discard the parent in its totality? Jesus Christ, I got tongue-tied.
Totality. No, that we know what you mean. You know what you mean. Right.
We got you.
Totality. Yeah. So we shouldn't do that. You know what I mean? So you know, we have a lot of great people out of here with a lot of great potential, you know, who are doing great things in the community, great things in the society. You know what I mean? And we shouldn't discount, you know, people sometimes because they make small mistakes or they have imperfections or weaknesses. You know what I mean? These are still great people out here who's doing great things, and we need to give them more credit while they're alive.
Right. I agree. And it's a lot of times what I'm learning is that people might don't have what we want them to have, but everyone has something to offer. And I tell people to start off where you're at. So wherever you at, if you a well-read person, maybe you can teach, you know, a class on, you know, helping others learn how to read or whatever. If you're a good cook. So we all can contribute to that. So you're right. You're definitely right about that. So thank you for expanding on that. Here's another question I have for you. Avon, are you finished asking the question?
No, I am done. Now, carry on.
Okay. What is it that you see that's preventing black men from coming together, like working together? Because I hear that a lot. Like, you know, a lot of black men can't work together, you know, because of jealousy, envy, hate, whatever. What do you see as one of the one of the, you know, interactions that stop them or prevent them from working together?
Let me give you a couple of them. Self-hate and greed.
Mm.
Self-hate and greed. We have become a people who, because we don't love ourselves, because we don't know ourselves, it is very difficult to love someone else. And the problem with our community is that we do not respect each other. We don't love each other. If you look on the faces of people today, it is very difficult to see people smile at you. Let's just something very simple to do, right? It is very difficult to see people in a jovial, have a jovial spirit or a very pleasant presence to them. Let's be honest. If we're going to talk, let's talk real. Let's talk real. Oftentimes,
nice.
You go around people, and let's just talk about black people right now, our people. It is very difficult to see somebody greet you first, hold the door for you, be nice to you. You get on the, in your car and you go on the freeway, somebody's going to flip you the bird. Somebody's going to give you a mean stare. Somebody's going to cut you off. You go into a restaurant to have a meal. You're going to see angry faces, people rushing you to get in and out the door. You know what I mean? I mean, this is just a reality. I'm not dogging or, you know, trying to diminish our people. I love our people. Our people are kings and queens and have great potential, great potential. But the reality of what's happening today is we're slowly being destroyed internally through lack of knowledge, lack of love for self, and greed. We have become very greedy. Everything is about money with us, right? Everything is about money. That is a huge problem in our communities, is that we are a people that don't care who we have to step on to get over. We are pretty much a people that would do anything to get what we want. We will rob, steal to get what we want. You understand? I say this because I deal with so many families, so many children that I see daily who are dying on the streets and starving, desperate for help, for attention, for love. And it's like people will literally turn their backs on a child for greed, power, money. I experience this in house calls daily, and I see it when I speak to certain legislatures, when I ask them for help concerning our youth or concerning, you know, the come up for our people. You know, it has a very nasty tone to some of the things that they would say to me in regards to helping our community or helping our children.
Okay. So do you think that, because you mentioned something that we, you know, how we are, someone in the chat says the government does worse. What was your, because the chat is going crazy, we have this chat going on. The government does worse. What do you think about that? Because you mentioned how we don't have respect, we don't have that. And people, you know, usually say that the government is, you know, the problem, you know, the non-black man is the problem. A man of no color is the problem. So what do you, what would your response be for that?
Well, we got to come out of that. I mean, there's truth in that. You know what I mean? But we got to come out of that. We're responsible now. We have enough knowledge and resources to come out of what we're in. A lot of this stuff we're doing is self-inflicted wounds. You know, so I'm not with necessarily the blame game. There's enough blame to go around. We know about our history. There's no doubt about that. You can't deny it. They can't deny it. Nobody can deny it. But the reality is we got to stop the blame game. What's going on now is self-inflicted wounds. We're killing ourselves. You understand? So the government is absolutely weak. We know that. The government right now is failing us, you know, clearly, because you judge the leadership by the fruit of the people. So if the people are in a bad condition, they're homeless, they're starving, they're dying, then clearly that's a reflection of the leadership. So there's no dispute that the leaders of this country, this government, is failing us. The laws in our schools, the laws of that's been given to people that want to be transgender and all this other crap is ridiculous. You understand? This
right.
destroying
right.
our children. So clearly, there's no doubt the government is failing us. It's decaying rapidly. And this was actually prophesied through other scriptural texts going back to the God. This was all prophesied. It's happening. The Sodom and Gomorrah, the stuff that's happening today is all been prophesied, and it's coming to pass. These laws that they have out here today is freaking horrible. It's destroying our children. It's killing them. I mean, just look at our country. I mean, just if we're really looking at this country today, what is happening? Where are the voices that are speaking up against this madness? Where are the men, the warriors that speak, that's going to speak up for our children's sake and say, this is ridiculous what's going on. This is the law that's being passed today. It's ridiculous in this country. The violence, the immorality, the over-sexualized, this country is failing us. So absolutely, I agree with that viewer or listener. The government is absolutely irresponsible as hell. But right now, we're self-inflicting ourselves.
Okay. Now, there's a couple of things. We're going to get into some real deeper stuff, but I'm just trying to get out a lot of stuff. You mentioned, I see, you know, as I was watching your program, first of all, let me just let the callers know about, just give a couple of more announcements. For those of you who just came into the chat or who just call in and listening through the iPads or the laptops, this tonight's topic is about Black men. How are you showing up in the community? Part two, and we have our special guest from the prison doctor, Myron Fontaine, and he's with us tonight discussing various issues and about his program, how he make intervention house calls and how he's disciplining to help discipline young boys and young girls. The call-in number, once again, if you want to call in, is 515-605-9322. Once again, the number is 515-605-9322. Okay, prison doctor, we're going to move on. Now, a lot of times kids are raised up properly in their home, right? But the atmosphere outside of their home, they get caught up. So you have a child who's, you know, their parents, they might even come from a two-parent household that is raised properly, but when they go outside, they are, you know, everyone knows that they are influenced, called peer, you know, peer influence. So how would you deal with those issues where the kids might be good in the home, but they exhibit something different in the schools or outside that home?
Right. Well, I get asked that question a lot, and my truth to that is that anytime you can have both parents in the home, you have a higher probability of success with your children or child when both parents are in a home. Unfortunately, most of the house calls I do are single parents where the father is not there. It's mostly single mothers who are raising their children. But the reality is this, that you can have both parents in the home, could still go away. And the reason why that would be, in most cases, is because of an absence of God. God has been removed from the home. God has been removed from the school. And when you remove God out of the equation, I don't care if you got the Pope, Jesus, I don't care who you got in the home. You understand? When you remove God out of it, you're going to have a problem. And the problem is that a lot of families today, they don't really spend time with their children. They don't pray with their children. They don't eat dinner together with their children. Like when we grew up back in the day, you know, we would have dinners with our fathers and mothers, you know, it was a regular thing. You know what I mean? Where even on Sundays, we would go to church or go to the mosque or, you know, we would come back over grandma's house and it'd be a kumbaya, like on soul food. You know what I mean? Where all the families get together and talk and exchange thought and learn each other's desires or, you know, what their goals were in life or what they did. You know, today that's not happening in these homes, even with the both parents there. You know, the father is home, but he's not in the home. You know what I mean? Or the father and mother's there, but the father's in his room doing something, you know, he's doing. The mother's doing something she's doing. The kid is upstairs on his phone or playing Xbox or whatever the hell the games are. And everybody's in their own space because they're so stressed from school, from work, and what they're doing in their own personal lives that they come home. And it's still like there's no communion, no exchange of thought. It's very hard when you go to a restaurant. You know, you see everybody on the damn phone. You know, the kids are sitting there on the phone. You're at dinner trying to eat a meal where that is a perfect time to exchange thought, to learn about you know, each other, what your beliefs are and how your day went. It's very difficult to go to a restaurant and see people actually just talking. The talking they're doing is on the damn phone. Or we're distracting the kid with a game. You know, he's playing Cocomelon or whatever the hell the games are. And because there's no exchange of thought. You got 24 hours in a day. If you go to sleep for 8 hours and then you go to work for 8 hours, 16 hours out of your day. Then you got to drive home. You got to cook a meal. You got to get a shower. And then you got to get ready for the next day. So out of that 24 hours, how much time did you really spend exchanging thought with your child? We're learning and growing together as a family. That's very rarely done in these homes today. That is a problem, even with both parents in the home.
Right, exactly. Someone from the chat said, when you refer to God, if you have God, they said that's not always true if you have God. Examples, pastor's children, like the pastor's children, like people, like, you know, people that, you know, pastor's children, you know, everyone know about that, you know, it's like a concept in a community, not a concept, but it's like, you know, a thing you see where the pastor's children go astray. What would you say about that? Because they just asked me that.
No, absolutely. The things that I need my viewers to understand, I'm not one to try to sell my package. And I'm not saying your viewer did that, so I don't want to offend her. I speak my truth of what I know works when I'm doing these house calls and what I know works for my life. So God is very important to me. And I know that when I introduce God into these families, it works. That's all I can tell you on that.
Okay.
Well, let me just go a little bit further. A pastor's child, these are not perfect people. Again, I was just speaking about how we got to be careful not to hold our leaders to be perfect people or our children to be perfect children. Children will be children. Children will make mistakes. Children will stray sometimes because that's what children do. Whether they got God or not has nothing to do with that. That's not what I was suggesting earlier. What I'm saying is that when you have God, you have a much higher success rate in the successfully raising your family structure. Now, that's what my experience has taught me, and that's what works in my life. But just because a pastor's child goes astray doesn't mean that God is ineffective. Doesn't mean that. It could have meant that the pastor wasn't on point. It could have meant that the child was just in his childlike behavior at that time. The Bible says that when you're a child, you do childish things. But when you become a man, you do manly things, paraphrasing. So you can't hold the pastor, you know, child to that kind of a standard because no one is perfect. And people will make mistakes. You're always going to have bad apples in the basket. That's just the reality of things. But for the most part, because we have to attack things on what works best and the most likelihood of success, what I do know and what we all should know is that when we tend to live a righteous life, whether you call it God, Allah, Buddha, Jehovah, or nature, whatever you call it, when the people tend to live more so according to a standard of righteousness, however they define it, right? We
right.
get more success stories from that. But what we do know is that when we live unrestrained, when we live with no barriers, when we live so carefree and so open for anything, that's when problems happen. That's why you have laws being passed today where it's okay for a transsexual, a man who wants to be a woman, can do that and then walk into a girl's bathroom with your 7-year-old child and go in there and possibly, you know, because of the unrestrictions and the no boundaries type society we live in today. So,
okay, we're going to talk about that. Let's get into
I'm
it.
Sorry,
like
I'm sorry. I'm holding back.
All right. I'm a child advocate. I consider myself a child advocate. And I have done, and I'm still doing mentorship for little girls, for girls, you know, I would say like 18 and under, 18, 19 and under. Right. It's not as extreme as your program. And I'm not able to do that much work yet because I'm still raising, you know, small children. But here's the thing, what I say as a parent, I'm totally against children being introduced to sexuality and being able to make a decision whether they should be able to become and having so much power whether they should be able to become a transgender or not. Okay. I don't think they should have that decision. I don't think they should be able to make that decision. And like you said, because I try to follow the tenets of God. So what is your say on that? What do you see now? Because, and another thing, somebody said that the government own your child. All right. And as a parent, I know that, I've seen other parents. I know parents who got their child taken away from them. The child, you know, they called the police on their mother. And, you know, saying that their mother took the phone from them, or, you know, I had another situation that they lied and said the parents hit them. And I also seen that on your show, too, where the child lied about, you know, her stepfather and her mother. So this is what the kids are weaponizing parents to do what they want to do. And the government is saying that parents in the transgender community, LGBT community, is saying that the parents should allow children to be who they want to be, you know, to have these decisions, to, you know, like you were saying, to believe. They should be able to believe in what they want to believe and, you know, express themselves. What do you think about that?
Ridiculous. Insanity, satanic, demonic, listen, it's outrageous that we are even having this conversation, right, today,
right,
as a serious conversation. You are talking to a man. I was born that. My genital is correct the way God created it to be, or nature created it to be. I am very happy in my masculinity as a man. I love who I am, and I would never, ever want to change it. It is a disgraceful thing that is happening in our society today, where the laws or LGBTQ or whomever, transgender, whomever, are trying to tell us that it should be okay for our children to want to be anything other than the way they were created. Let me go there with that.
Please.
I have a problem with anything that is unoriginal. When we're talking about human life, I have a problem with where we are more in love with being everything and anything other than who we are. I have a serious problem with people that want to be white when you're black, or you want to be black when you're white. I have a problem with people who want to put on pounds of makeup, put on eyelashes that are 10 inches long, put on fake weeds that are 10 feet down your back to your butt or to the floor. I have a problem that people want to put butt implants on their body. I have a problem with people for no health reasons at all, but just want to make themselves look totally different than the way they were created. And I'll tell you why. Some may say, well, a person has a right to, that is very true. They do. But wouldn't you question just a little bit, like, the insecurity of why would you not be happy with who you are? There's nothing wrong with wanting to enhance yourself a little bit. I get that. Men do it. There's no problem with that, with being a little different. Want to spice it up. Want to look a little exotic sometimes. Matter of fact, I even do that. That is very nice to do. But what I'm talking about is people that literally puts on total transformations, where when they take the disguise off, that you don't even recognize who the hell they are. That's what I'm talking about. For a man to want to be a woman, that is a total misrepresentation of who the hell he is. A man can never be a woman, and a woman can never be a man. It has gotten so perverse and so sick that you now got the women, when they want to be a butch or a boy, that they start trying to act like a boy. They want to put on the pants now and sag it. They want to wear the muscle shirt. They want to knot their hair up and braid it with the hat to the side, and they want to now walk with a little limp. And just totally just want to change the whole damn dynamic of what a woman is, their whole self, completely erase the way they were created. And the men are doing the same thing. Well, now they want to cut off their penis. They want to literally just transform lipstick on. They want to start snapping and popping their lips. They now want to pop their damn hips. They want to start now being dancers in the damn club, and they dropping it like it's hot. They twitching and switching and busting it down more so than the damn woman. This is disgraceful. And for anybody to go, well, let them do them. That's okay. It don't affect me. You say that now. Look 10 years from now. Because that's what other scientists and people do that can see the weather report. They forecast for what's coming down the line. And I'm telling you, public, that coming down the line, if you keep accepting this madness and you keep letting it go unaddressed and you keep letting it just go unattached or unattacked, you watch what happens 10 years from now with your child. You watch what happens when now they become desensitized to what it is to be a man. They lose all sense of masculinity as a young man. They don't even desire to want to be a man. You understand? So this is my problem that I'm having, is that enough people are not standing up against what you know is fundamentally wrong. Of course people have the right to decide their own destiny, but that don't mean we should accept it. Can we not call a spade a spade? If the shit is wrong, it's wrong. If it's immoral, it's immoral. Well, then they'll say, well, what do you consider immoral? Well, damn it, let's go by nature. Let's go just by accepting me and my family or my son for what the hell he is. He's a boy. I choose for my boy not to be a girl or to be down with that crap. But yet they'll attack me and shut me down and say I'm wrong for standing up for the rights of my child wanting to raise him as a man. They'll say, well, you wrong, and try to blackball me and shut me down, try to talk about me. You understand? Dog me out. Because I'm standing up for my beliefs, my God, and what I want my son to be raised like. You let this stuff continue. If you let it continue, I am warning you, in the next 10 years, you won't have no say. Because already they're taking the laws in the schools and telling the parents that you can't tell your child they can't cross-dress at school. Your child at 10 years old can go into a room and cross-dress to be a girl if he's a boy. Or if it's a girl, can be if it's a boy, can be a girl, and a girl can be a boy. They're doing that now in certain schools in certain parts of our country. That's what they're doing, where the parents don't have no say. The parent can't say, you better not cross-dress my boy into a girl. The parent will get in trouble and get brought up on charges for that crap. If you think I'm lying, DM me, I'll send you the stuff. So this is why I'm so hard and passionate at fighting this stuff, because I want the people so passionately to understand what I'm saying, to research it and see what I'm talking about and help me fight this stuff. Because if not, you are going to lose the future of your child.
Thank you. You know what? I'm going to back you up on that. They do shut parents down. You know, I have a video. I was watching, you know, I watch these videos on parents' rights and everything. And one lady, her daughter wanted to transition into a boy, and she wanted to get her name changed and everything. And the parent says no. Well, the school came into play. ACS, well, Dreyfus, I guess, for that community, came into the household, and they removed the girl. They, you know, they made the girl happy temporarily. Do you know a couple of months after that, the girl committed suicide? Okay, so she was part of the LBG community for a while. And she didn't have the support, so say they supposed to have given her. Another thing, I was having my son, I don't know, for whatever reason, he's 13 now, but he never, something about school he never liked, right? So he was always having problems at school, and then he used to come home and tell me what was going on at school. And the last incident that helped me decide, that wasn't the only reason, but that helped me decide, and that was really one of the big factors, is that he was telling me he was getting frustrated how his teacher kept telling him that he's married to a man. And my son was at the time 11, 12, and he was frustrated. You know, so thank God I took him out of school, and I'm homeschooling him now. And that's the way to go. And for those who are facing, that could get brought up on charges, because that could happen in school, because school now is like, it's based on, it's like a sex fest in school now, you know, where they, not all schools, but majority of the schools are promoting that.
Yeah, they're forcing it down our children's throat. They're literally forcing it down our children's throat with books and all kind of ideologies about sexuality and all kind of transgender crap. They're forcing it down their throat.
Yes, I agree.
Let me just make this one comment. I'm sorry. Let me just say this one thing real quick. As a man, because this is for the men, particularly for the men. So if I have a daughter, a child, a little seven-year-old girl, am I supposed to be okay with my little girl going into a restroom to potty, to use the bathroom, or my wife or my woman to go into a bathroom, she's in there, and then I see this transvestite, this man, because he can never be a woman, this man go and follow behind my daughter or my wife or girlfriend into a bathroom where I am not allowed to go in as a man to watch this. Do you think that I should be okay with that and allow that to happen, knowing that I've been in prison, right, for 20 years of my life, and I'm telling you what I know, that men will intentionally go to all extremes to get to molest and rape women or molest girls. I was in prison with these clowns, you understand, who are so desperate and so perverted that they will actually cross-dress, or they would even change or go on the record to say, hey, look, I'm no longer a man. I'm a woman now. They will go through all the legal ramifications they have to face, pay any amount of money to be recognized as a woman just solely to be able to go into a damn restroom with a little girl or a woman so they can look under a skirt or violate a child. Do you think that as a man, I'm supposed to be okay with that? You are out of your damn mind. If I ever seen that happen to my child or any child, I'll be going to jail and I would have no problem with it. So, but this is the craziness of the laws that's being inflicted and pushed into our communities today. You understand? Where this stuff is being perverted. But you know why? There's no restrictions. There's no boundaries. Everybody just wants to say what you want to say, do what you want to do. You know, they can do, it's okay. You know, let people do what they want to do. No, shit has boundaries. You understand? There's restrictions to certain things. Look, when I stole a car, there was restrictions. They put my ass in prison for 20 years because I couldn't do what I wanted to take that car and drive it. The law says, no, take your ass to jail for it. I did that and paid a heavy price. So you telling me that they shouldn't have restrictions? They should not be said, look, man, I don't give a damn what you call yourself. At the end of the day, you was born a man. You cannot go into a restroom with a woman. They're not going to say that. They're not doing that. Excuse my passion, but I'm talking about life, children, saving their life and protecting our future. So my passion is coming from that principle. So please understand it.
No, definitely. You don't even have to apologize. I have the same passion. I'm just, you know, you being that you bringing it so hard, you know, with that passion, I don't have to express mine because you're doing a good job for both of us. So believe me, we have these conversations all the time. Once again, this is we're with the
prison doctor.
Right, we're with the prison doctor. And for those of you, Myron, we would like to open the lines for some questions because other people may have some questions. But I just want to say this. One other question I have, how is your program, and then I'll open the lines, but how do you work with, you go into the home, what is your strategy? Okay, so do you have a strategy, and how does that work when you go into these homes? What are some of the guidelines and stuff that you do?
If I told you, I'd have to kill you. Listen, the world right now, and when I say the world, I'm not exaggerating. As you guys already know, you vetted me and seen the information that I'm talking about. The world right now wants to know that question of why the prison doctor organization is so effective at transforming children's lives where no other has ever been. What is the secret? I've been asked that, and I refuse to tell it. Reason being is this, is because once somebody gets a hold of something that's good and that's anointed, they have a great habit of spoiling it or ruining it. And next thing you know, because people will try to take what I do and they'll try to monetize it or throw their little riffraff in it, you know what I mean? Or they'll do something to victimize it. And they'll ruin this thing. I've seen people do it, and we're all adults. We know that that's what people do. So right now, there's principles that I use. I'll tell you this. There's a certain method that I use that has been proven effective. When I tell you I've been doing this for over 10 years, and I am not exaggerating when I tell you I can't think of more than a handful, maybe, that it didn't work with, and that was because either they had a serious mental condition, a health disorder like that, or they were above 18 years old. But other than that, we have a method. God has blessed me with a step system. I'm trying not to give too much. That has been tried 1,000 to now almost 2,000 times or over. That's been pretty accurate in what we do. And we are saving lives all over this nation. I have flown to 15 different states in the past 2 months or so, literally. I have helped hundreds of children, and I have testimonials that are bar none. We've been vetted and asked to come in different countries, in South Africa, Dubai, Canada, because they see what we're doing. So I can't give you all the steps, but I'll tell you, it's just my anointing, you know. So I'm not really worried about people stealing it necessarily, because even if you try to duplicate what I do, you may not be as successful because it may not be your calling or your anointing. And for those who do have that calling or anointing, I wish them much success. They should already know what to do, so I ain't got to give that secret of how I do it, because they got their own tool or methodology that I'm sure works well for them if they're anointed to do this. Because the reality is, guys, this work isn't for everybody. This work isn't for everybody. You can't just step up one day and say you want to be this kind of a mentor, not the kind that I am. You can be a mentor, you know, a good guy who wants to speak to kids and help them and give them advice. Everybody can probably do that. But I'm talking about the real work of transforming gang members. Listen, just the other day, I got a gun and drugs from a father's home, from a gang member. Right, just a month ago, I got a gun out of a young girl's home. Just a few months before that, I helped. Listen, so it's not for everybody, okay? And I'll leave it at that.
Angela, hold on, if you don't mind. I want to ask you a question, Myron. So we understand that you have a program and procedures for the children. Is there a parent or an adult component to your program as well?
Yeah, absolutely. The apple don't fall too far from the tree. Oftentimes, when I go into most of these house calls, after I spend 5 minutes with the parents, I quickly understand what's wrong with the child. So, yeah, I have a parenting course. And oftentimes when I do these interventions, what you don't see on my social media is those interventions I have with the parents. You know what I mean? So you don't see that. But at every house call that I do, I'm also mentoring the parents. I talk to these parents almost daily, regularly, to this day. I that's the other backdrop that a lot of people, you know, that comment, they're like, how does it work? Well, listen, I deal with these families every day. You know, I literally have to be scheduled to do podcasts and radio interviews and all the shows that I'm doing. I have to be scheduled because I'm so on the phone, or if I'm not in somebody's house doing a house call, I deal with children and parents 20 all day. You understand? So the parenting thing is the biggest component, because the parents are making some of the biggest mistakes. You know, you got the mother, like I say, who's more concerned with Instagram and posting butt shots all over social media. So that lets me know right there her thinking is a little off. Anytime you have an adult woman, you know, a grown up, you know, on Instagram, more concerned with getting likes for a post, you know, and posting butt shots, you know, and looking for the right tight outfit, you know what I mean, the skirt and the shorts and the outfit to, you know, to get likes on Instagram, and that's her sole goal for the day, you know, it kind of tells me that, you know, the mom may need a little help, you know what I mean? Not saying she's necessarily a bad person, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that that's not really a motherly type of thing you would be doing when you have a child. It's just, don't work like that.
Amen to that. One of the in the chat, I know everyone's wondering how you get to that chat. Those who were sent a link from Conversation with AA, you can go, if you look down, it tells you how you can sign in. I think you got to sign in through Facebook, use your Facebook account, and then you can join the chat. So the prison doctor. We have a comment. Parents are not scared of their children. They're scared of the police/government. What you have to say?
I'm wondering, should I just make an announcement of something I just found out? I'm trying. I just went into – I'm sorry. Something just happened, and I'm just trying to think in my mind, should I just say something?
Do that real quick. I'm going to give you one. I just want to make an announcement. We're going to take questions in a few minutes. Those of you who have questions, please press 1. So it's like raising your hand. So we can see it through the chat. So once again, those of you who have questions, you can just press 1. Because we see a lot of callers on the board. Press 1.
Let them
know. We will, or you have comments, either questions or comments. If you press 1, we will see you in the chat.
Call log,
and we will definitely come to your So we have a couple. So yes, Prison Doctor, let us know when you're ready.
Sure, sure. I'm going to reveal something to the viewers on my Instagram Live or social media. How what I just said is so true. So they just flagged me on TikTok on my social media because it said because I mentioned something on there about the trans, you know, the trans. It's incredible. Exactly. It's so bad that it's, you got to laugh to a degree that they would try to shut you down and shut you up from saying anything. Do you know when it came to civil rights of black people that we would fight as hard as hell to get, you know, any kind of rights or justice, you know, thrown our way, you know, for anything that we were set against or treated. But if you say anything against a transgender, do you know they actually, people will actually hate on you and they will do everything in their power to shut you up from getting to the masses of people to spread that message. Now, that's how far our society has come.
That's how far it
is really gotten with this stuff. The most unrighteous, unholiest of all things to be a transsexual. And I'll say it again, and listen, if they want to shut me down and try to shut me up, listen, it's okay. But long as somebody hears it, and I'll record it on a damn phone for future reference, they will not shut me up. They will not stop me from going against immorality of that nature. But just giving you an example of what something just happened. But that just shows you of how evil and vile and how much they want to protect this madness and how it's harming our children. They don't want that being said. But it is very disgusting. And our children are paying that price. And it's going to get worse, public. I'm warning you. This stuff is going to start affecting your children. You mark my word. Let it go another 10 years. If you think it's bold now, and let this crap keep going. Watch what happens. They're going to strip you of all control, all power of your right of dealing with your children, of telling them what you want them to be as a man or a boy or a girl or a woman. You're going to lose it, parents. I'm telling you what I know. If you don't stand up and start shutting them down and you try... You're going to lose. I'm warning you. That's why I'm going so hard with this and speak so passionately and so raw right now is because another year from now, your phone may even be tagged as soon as you say anything against this kind of stuff. You won't even be able to get your message out. That's how perverted and how desperate they are to push their narrative and to shut you down from any rights you have to raise your child the way you want them to. To be a boy or to be a girl. They literally want to allow you to make you okay with your little boy being a girl and your girl being a boy. That is disgusting and sick, and we should all fight against it and stand up against it.
Someone said you're talking about years. They said they want your children now. It's happening now. And you know, they have organizations now that's pushing pedophilia. Where, you know, they want kids to have sex as young as 6 years old. So what you're saying is definitely, and I speak up for the children. Okay.
Right.
So yeah.
And I don't hate, and I want the viewers to understand, let this be recorded. The Prison Doctor organization, nobody on my staff, my team, I have a staff of like 20 people, team members, volunteers. Listen, we don't hate transgender. We don't hate homosexuals. We don't hate robbers. We don't hate murderers. We don't hate drug addicts, we don't hate you at all. None of us are perfect. What I'm saying is simply this, is that there's certain things that we all should be on the same page with, that you can't stay that way. A robber shouldn't be able to remain a robber. I was a robber. It's not okay for me to continue to be a robber. If I was going around stealing to this day, you would have a right as a transgender, transsexual to call me out on being a robber and judge me based on that. I would have no problem with that. I'm in the wrong. You are in the wrong for trying to be a freaking woman when you are a man, and you are wrong for trying to be a man when you are a woman. You are wrong for that. Why are you wrong? Because it goes against your own nature. It goes against who you are as a person. And don't, please don't throw God in it. You have to be a person that don't believe in God to even suggest being a transsexual at any rate. Please don't try to bring the Bible in it and justify it through the Quran, the Bible, because none of those books support being transgender or transsexual. Now, if you just want to do you and you want to say, look, man, look, I just want to live my life the way I want to. I want to be freaky and be a, I want to experience being a girl. Listen, that's fine. Do you. Do you. Don't push that crap on our kids and don't walk into no bathroom where little girls are going in talking about you're a woman. Don't do that.
Right. I agree too. I agree too. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. We have a couple of callers that would like to ask you a question. Are you ready for questions right now?
Hey, let's go.
Okay. Callers, will we announce your last four digits of your number? Please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from. Please be courteous, respectful of the host and our guests. So once again, our show is Black Men, How Are You Showing Up in the Community? And we have a special guest, the prison doctor, that is the founder of the Prison Doctor Organization. Okay, so we're going to go to caller with the last four digits. You got like 2-3 minutes because time is moving fast to either give a comment or ask a question. That's 9074. Caller with the last four digits, 9074. Hello, you are live.
That's 9074. Caller with the last four digits, 9074. Hello,
okay.
You are live.
That's 9074. Okay, I don't know what happened with that. Okay, we're going to go to caller with the last digits, 4171. Caller with the last digits, 4171.
I'm here. This is Abdul from Lindenwall, New Jersey, South Jersey. And
hello.
I have a question. How you feel, bro?
Yeah,
I'm great, my man. I'm very well. Very
good.
Well.
Everybody else. You mentioned something, and you said that you would be a qualified leader of black people, right?
Am I
correct?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The thing is, black people do not need a leader. They need a collective body of individuals to make ideas together to solve whatever is black people's problem, not a person. That's the first thing. The other thing is you mentioned Farrakhan. Louis Farrakhan is, first of all, he's not a black person. He's a white person. His father is Caucasian. I don't think you know that. And that's the one thing about him. And the other thing about him, he sold out to Scientology. He's in with that satanic organization called Scientology. He pushes their issues now. Okay? So he would not be a good representative of black people. No kind of way. Your comment?
I have none.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you. Anyone else who have a comment? Anyone else who have a comment or a question for the prison doctor? Please, you can definitely. Well, someone. I have the chat is going crazy.
Let me say something. I'm sorry. I don't mean to minimize anybody, but. Let me tell you something. It's very unintelligent, right, for me to be on a radio show, a podcast, streaming, whatever, and to debate with somebody who I don't really care what his belief is or not. I'm here to speak the truth, my truth, period, and to give viewers and listeners a roadmap of something they can learn and they can chew up the meat and spit out the fat or whatever they want to. But I'm not going to debate with anybody about my beliefs or who's right and wrong. Either you accept it or you don't. And that's what Jesus did. He didn't sit there and you know, go through the argument. You know, you're either going to accept it or you're not. When you come with some viable questions and you say something that's really, you know, serious, then maybe we can go into that. But talk about Farrakhan and base something. We're talking about Farrakhan in the light of his knowledge, his wisdom, him being a leader. So you're going to, what I say about people, how we pick out parts and we want to diminish people based on, you know, small things, and we want to discredit the message, you know, because of the person, so to speak. See, that's a mistake that we do. I refuse to give any energy or life to that kind of debate. I just won't do it. Farrakhan is a very wise man. He's not perfect, you know, no, he never claimed to be perfect. I'm not, that call is not perfect. And until he does the work that Farrakhan is doing or that I'm doing or that many of these other black leaders or black people are doing, there's a lot of great black men out here who's doing great, phenomenal work, and they're not being recognized. They don't even get the platform that I'm doing, and some of them are doing even harder, better work than me. You understand? But I'm not going to diminish Farrakhan, whether his father was black or white, and have that debate on the genes of it. See, that's where we get confused as a black people. We allow that kind of distraction to come into the message. The message is what he's saying true? Whether it's come from a white man, a Jewish man, an Indian man, or Satan himself, chew the meat, spit out the fat. If you cannot disprove what the message of someone and what they're saying, then you should never care. I don't give a damn what Farrakhan's biology is. I wouldn't give a damn if he was a white man, an Indian, a Jew, a Mexican. If what he's saying is factual, that's the meat you take, spit out the fat. So I don't engage in those unintelligent, uneventful debates.
Okay, thank you for that comment. I have someone in the chat that said, what is the caller doing to help boys? This is why black men can't join together. Another caller said, thank you, prison doctor, for not just talking, but for helping. So, yeah, I just wanted to express that. Avon, do you have any questions for the prison doctor right now?
No, the prison doctor is handling his business very well. He does not need to step in for him. So I want him to continue. Anything else that he has to say, or do we have any more callers?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because the caller actually identified and opened up something that's very wrong with people today, is that we're quick to want to criticize. When I was talking earlier in the show about how we're just a mean people, you know, people are mean today and don't smile, don't congratulate, don't love, don't see the good of people. We're quick to see the negative. We're quick to criticize, but we don't want to uplift, inspire, or congratulate, or thank. You see what I'm saying? Particularly when you're not doing no work your damn self. It's very insulting or very ignorant to make a criticism when you're not doing any work. How do you criticize somebody who saved lives? Now, I want the viewers to, let's look at this thing intellectually. Let's just be real with each other for this moment. How can somebody criticize anybody, whether it's me, Farrakhan, you the viewer, when you're doing the work, when you're actually doing good and you're saving lives and you're helping people, you're giving your heart, you're not asking for anybody to give you blood, shirt, money, you're not taking nothing from people, you're giving of your time, you're giving of your life, you're sacrificing of your life, right? And you're doing good work for people, you're doing everything. You're doing the work. But people will still find a way to creep into what you're doing and have room to criticize someone who has not done anything wrong. Let me just finish this one point. I'm sorry. I'm not out here raping women. I'm not out here selling drugs. I'm not affiliated with no gang members. I'm not taking any money out of your pocket. I don't prevent you from having freedom, justice, equality, liberty. I don't do none of those things. But yet, you want to come at me. You want to attack me or censor me because I speak my truth, but yet I'm supposed to allow you to speak yours. That is just so hypocritical. It's very irrelevant and just very ignorant. But we do that to each other. And that's why we never come out. When they talk about crabs in a barrel and why black man can never rise. That is one of the reasons, because we don't celebrate each other. We're quick to criticize. You know what I mean? And we do it publicly. We don't even like to do it privately. You know, I would respect a person if he did it privately. Say, hey, man, let me give you a call, man. Let me tell you, I don't like you, man. You suck. I would respect that privately. You know what, man? Can you explain to me why you believe A, B, C, or D? I would respect that. But to go on media and to air your ignorance to attack your brother, I would like to think your brother, whether you're white or black, your brother who's serving to help somebody in the same cause of helping righteousness, save kids' lives. So I think we're brothers in that regard. Well, maybe you're not, actually. So I would think that we could come together in that regard. and celebrate a person who's doing good.
Okay. Thank you for that. I just wanted to let people know, if you want to go to the chat, we sent those who were sent a link, you can go to the link and you look down. If you sign into the Facebook group, you can actually connect with the chat live. So I'm reading for the chat for those who don't want to come on live, and I'm also going to the callers. So let me redirect that question. For the men out there who actually have a program or actually can make a contribution to the community with helping boys, especially boys, because it's all over the news now. And not that saying that the news is the main source, but we have social media and all of that, of what the young kids are doing to each other, their parents, and just the drama that they're going through. And these kids need help. Okay. My suggestion, I would say to press number one if you have a question. If you actually doing something in the community and would like to announce what you are doing, because we need to, be respectful, and not to only listen to just one side of the conversation. I mean, he's been up here and he's been expressing how, he does all of this stuff, goes into houses, and he mentioned how dangerous these houses is. So we need to be respectful. So anyone who, any of the listeners who actually doing something that would like to talk to the prison doctor, have questions about his organization, please press one. So we have one caller with the last four digits, 9074. Caller with the last digits, 9074. Please state your name and city and state you're calling from. Hello, caller.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, I'm calling from Fort Worth. My name is Dee Dee. How are you guys?
We are doing fine, Dee Dee.
We're well, thank you.
Listen, baby, y'all spitting fire on here. I done danced across my kitchen. I'm going to tell you something. I get lashed out all the time. People don't like what I say, and I'm going to say this and I mean it. I feel like the first problem is they're trying to wipe God out of this world. They say we have freedom, but yet they want to control what we say and what we do. And people tell me, you better not say that a man is not a woman or a woman is not a man if that's what they want to be called, because you're going to get in trouble. No, I'm not going to get in trouble, because you're not going to make me have to answer to God because you think you're going to make me call a man a woman or a woman a man. And So I absolutely love that the prison doctor don't mind saying it.
Okay.
And yeah, as far as in the man that called, it's crazy because I wanted to say something totally different, but I kind of heard the attack. And this is what I don't understand about people. If someone is saying something that you don't agree with, just get offline. Why even continue to listen? Why do we have to combat each other? Why do we have to call with the intentions of attacking? If it's something you don't agree with, why waste your time listening? But the problem now is parents are not parenting anymore. Oh, the government said if I whoop my kids, I'm going to jail. Guess what? My youngest is 27, and I promise you this, if I was still raising kids in this day and time, I would have my black behind in jail, because nobody is going to tell me that I cannot discipline a kid in my own house. But the discipline left, and the kids started basically disciplining parents. And there is no more structure. It's too much that is wrong now, and the parents are allowing it. The kids talk to the parents like they're their friends, and it's just sad. So I appreciate the fact that somebody is out here, and I actually have spoken at plenty of conferences. I've actually spoken at a man's conference. Don't ask me how that happened.
You bought the balance. That's what you did.
My favorite. And I just want to thank you guys, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, because there is no more care and concern and compassion. I call it the three C's.
That's
right.
Beautiful.
Do you have a I'm sorry. Did you?
Can I respond to the caller?
Yes, prison doctor. Yes.
First of all, thank you so much for your comment. It means a lot. It really does. But I don't mind being attacked. That just speaks to the good that I'm doing. If I was never attacked, I would actually have a problem with that. So being attacked is actually an honor to me, because it lets me know that I'm relevant and I'm doing something right. I get an shut that guy down, the Muhammad guy that made the comment, by talking about Farrakhan being, you know, he's a white man. Well, clearly he doesn't know anything about melanin. If he understood melanin, he would understand about that gene and how that works, that little drop of melanin that gives him that hue and the origin of man itself. See, I didn't want to go down that rabbit hole because we would have been wasting time with an unintelligent caller in that regard. So I didn't want to go there. But what he needs to do is study science and biology, and he wouldn't have made that unintelligent statement that Farrakhan is a white man. So.
You better come on. I totally understand. I knew you was ready in and out of season, honey, trust me. You better be ready to refute. It just is what it is. But I promise you this, we hold ourselves back. I hear it all day long. The white man hold us back. We can't get nowhere. Like, did y'all ever look at the fact that we won't work together? We can't work together. We won't even celebrate each other enough to say, you know what? I'm going to support you and you support me, but we won't even do that. Everything with us is a competition.
Everything.
You tell me you want me to come to your restaurant and eat your food, but yet, okay, I do interior decorating, but you'll hire a complete stranger and you've been knowing me for 20, 30 years. So it's like you have to take the good with the bad and stand strong and walk tall and keep on pushing.
Yes,
thank you so much. Thank you so much for your comment.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. You guys have a wonderful night, and please keep doing what you're doing. And I'm on board. I'm listening whenever I can.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Once again, those who made a comment already, you can press 1 to dislodge your hands.
To take your hand down, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you want to make another comment, you could just leave your hand up. So press 1 if you finish with all your comments, or press 1 if you want to make another comment. So, yes. Avon, do you have any more questions?
Yes, I have a thought. I want to build on what the sister said, and I want to thank her for her call. And I want to say this. You know, this is a serious problem that we have in our community here. This thing, we get into this cancel culture and this debate culture here. Why are we debating each other, trying to prove who has the ultimate answer here? Nobody has all of the answers, and we all have a piece of the puzzle here, so why aren't we coming together to build instead of tear each other down? We're wasting a lot of time tearing each other down and trying to find fault. That is the problem. This is a time of life and death here. And then we don't have time to be jacking around here. So it's like, come together. If you're going to come together with a solution, let's talk. But don't do that. We got a bigger problem here. We got our kids dying out here. We got, we're killing each other. We're going to take ourselves out. We don't have to worry about a white man or this man or this. We're doing it to ourselves. And we're not going to get anywhere until we start taking accountability for ourselves and do what it is that we need to do. So I just wanted to say that. You can take it away, Angela. Take it from there.
Okay. And this is important because we have children listening. I have my son. He's 13 years old. He's listening. And prison doctor, he said hi. He wanted to tell you hi. Tell him hi yourself. Tell him hi.
Hi.
How you doing, young man? Good to meet you. Look forward to meeting you one day. Keep doing what you're doing because you got a great mother.
Yeah, so he's inspired to meet you one day, and he's also inspired about the show. So those who are calling in, we're here with the prison doctor. We're talking about black men. How are you showing up in the community? Part 2, and that's what we're bringing on. You know, Avon and I, we just wanted to have this show, the prison doctor, to encourage other men that, you know, there's women out there who care. There's people out there who want to connect the community, and we want to help solve problems, you know. So this is one of the reasons why and that we was inspired to even have this show and other shows that we do. So once again, for those who are just coming in, whether if you're coming in through the chat or if you have a comment, please press 1 if you want to speak to the prison doctor to ask some questions, or if you have something that you're interesting and you're not sure of what he was saying. So we do, the prison doctor, do you want to take one more call?
I want to take one more. Can I say something real quick? I'll make it brief.
Yes.
One of the things that we know is that we are the only people that have so much hate towards each other. It's ridiculous. Where we are separated by height, by gender, by age, by hairstyle. Within our own black community, we do this. We judge people by the color of their skin. We do this. I literally saw a rap video not too long ago where the guy was, he had a line of women lined up. This was a rap video, I kid you not. And some of the viewers, if you know what I'm talking about, please DM me or mention that video. He had a bunch of women lined up of different skin colors. One was light skin, then there was a brown skin girl, there was a dark skin girl, there was a fat girl, there was a skinny girl, a small girl. And he was going down the line while he was doing his rap video, and he was saying which one he would do something with, he would hit, you know what I mean, whatever. This one I wouldn't do. This one I wouldn't do. But I'd do this one. This was a light-skinned one. So he would do that one. The one that's light-skinned, long hair, blonde hair, you know, he would do that one. Got to the bigger girl, he kind of shunned her off and, like, you know, wouldn't do nothing with her. And this was a video. And this is how we do each other. So we can't judge the slave masters no more. You know, back in the day, how we wanted to talk about, you know, what they were doing when they have the black people on the auction block and judge a black man by the size of his testicles and so forth, or his chest, and to judge the woman by the size of her hips and her breasts, you know, saying what the strength of a baby she would, you know, give birth to by the size of her hips. You know, I mean, which ones would be more mateable to be, you know, to serve them on the plantation. See, today we are doing that. We do that. We judge our own race, right? We do that with our women. We judge them by the skin, by the color of their skin, by the hair, by their butt. If their butt ain't round enough, we don't want it. We do this to ourselves. We tear each other down within our own community. And we're the only ones who do it on this mass level out of every other nationality. And I'm a person who believes in everybody. I love, you know, I want to unite everybody. I really do. But when it comes to black people, we dog each other, man. We don't show no love, not really. We, you know, of course you have some who do and some who don't. But for the majority of our people, we do not embrace and love each other enough. We don't support each other enough. We don't speak love and life into each other. We're quick to hate each other and want to kill and criticize a black man who's trying to come up and do right and wants to help everybody, wants to love his people and trying to be a role model, trying to be a leader. We're quick to want to criticize and tear him down. And it's a damn shame.
Yes. 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 I agree. Yes.
Someone said that the New World Order is around the corner. And that's the New World Order is around the corner. So that's one of the reasons why. But I want you to ask, and I'm a caller, I'm going to come to you. I see a lot of callers with their hands up. I want to ask you, how can someone help you with your program that you're doing with the children? How could they, you know, either start their own program? How would you encourage, you know, more black men to show up in their community?
Great question. They can join our organization. They can go to my website, www.theprisondr.org. They can go to my Instagram at theprisondr, or they can call me at 1-800-369-8932 and just join up as mentors. And all I need is men to step up and want to do the work that I'm doing. They can do it on a voluntary basis, part-time. There could be a financial component attached to it down the line. But I don't want to deal with anybody who puts money above kids. If you want to join my organization and the first thing that comes out your mouth is how much does it pay or what can I get out of it, then you're not going to be the right fit for this organization because
come
we don't
put money
above kids, period. That's the problem. I'm actually almost being shackled by a certain, I guess you would call him a celebrity, who's trying to monetize the work that I'm trying to do with reaching more kids on a national basis. They want to monetize my work, so to speak. I'm not going to really talk about that at this time, but time certainly will happen. But people are just so money hungry. They don't care about kids like that. So I only want people and men and women who want to just give. I don't want people so much about what you're going to get. Let's talk about what you're willing to give, because that's what these kids need. They need heroes, and our kids are not seeing enough of that. Or start your own organization. I'll support you. How about that? You start an organization as a mentor. You make it a 501c3. I'll give you any resources or tools that I have. If I see you legit and you serious about saving lives, I'll support you and blast you. My word is bond all over my social media. I'll share my platform. I have 18 million views throughout my social media, 18 million, over a million followers throughout my platform. I will share that with anybody who DMs me and has serious mentors, and not talking about money and how much they can get. If you're serious about helping kids, I will help you help kids, because it ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's about these damn kids, period.
Hey.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, so you heard it from the mouth of the prison doctor. I'm going to take another caller. Caller with the last four digits, 6365, please state your name and the city and state that you are calling from.
Good evening, all. My name is Denise Clark, and I'm calling from Columbia, South Carolina.
Good evening.
Thank you for allowing me to listen and to join in on your conversation. To the parties that's on, I'd like to commend you for your conversation and your positivity that you bring to the table. I'm all for Black support. However, when you address someone in your community, such as a Black advocate, there's a lot of restrictions being put on that part. And it's kind of hard to support someone when they don't have a support from other activists that's in the community. A lot of the politicians don't back them. And it's hard for that person to get their platform put out there. So with all that being said, I would like to commend the prison doctor for addressing a lot of the issues that we are facing today. And keep preaching and keep doing what you're doing. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Thank you.
Ma'am. Thank you so much, ma'am, for your support. It means everything to me. Words of wisdom, I know I just heard.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank
you.
All right, so we're going to go on. So the prison doctor, you heard people's comments and you heard what they are saying. One of the, in the chat, someone says one of the callers needs to redirect their energy. I'm sure that they were talking about, maybe they were talking about one of the first caller. But what is it that you want us to know moving forward?
So your phone is echoing a little bit. I don't know what's going on, but you're a lot of echoing going on in the background.
All right. Can you hear me now? Is it
there
echoing now?
Okay. No.
Okay. What is it now? I mean, moving forward, what would you want the community to know, especially parents at this point, to know of how we can help with all the atrocities that's going on in our community? A lot of parents don't know what their children are doing. Can you give us some tips on what we can use to help us recognize the situation or dangers that our children are facing? Like, you know, that parents could probably intervene themselves before it gets out of hand.
Right. I think I heard your question a little echoing. I'm going to try to answer the parts that I heard.
Okay.
One of the things I would suggest is stop allowing your children to be so social media driven. Watch what your children are watching. Protect their eye gate and protect their ear gate. When you send your child upstairs with a telephone and you give him access to scroll and to view things, your child may inadvertently, right, unintentionally, scroll upon something that sparks his interest. What I need my viewers and the listeners to know is that 1 minute of a child receiving bad information or seeing something that is dangerous, it will stay in him for years. It will take years to retract that out of his brain. So 1 minute of bad information that your child sees on social media, whether it's pornography, drugs, violence, murder, that is a problem. We have to be careful of how the energy we spark into our children. If you are waking up and the first thing you are doing is watching the news, and your children are waking up watching TV, and they're receiving first thing in the morning negative information, violence, mayhem, death, how many people got shot on the west side today, how many deaths happened, COVID, world catastrophes all over the globe. If that's the first thing you're feeding your brain, and then all day you're hearing nothing but negativity, then you turn on the radio. The radio is talking about nothing but demeaning women and degrading women, nothing that's inspiring. You understand? Then the kids come home and you put them on Xbox. They're upstairs playing video games that are shoot, shoot, bang, bang, tearing people's heads off, blood splattered all over, cars crashing, banging against each other, people getting robbed, killed, war games, video games. If this is the energy that you are putting in your children and you're doing this crap daily, what do you expect to get out of them? You are making the biggest mistake of your life when you are injecting so much media, so much negativity, so much politicizing and just negative information and violence all day, music, TV, radio, the streets, gangs. If that's all they're seeing, all they're playing, all they're hearing is curse words, profanes, if that's all they're that's going in them, why is it shocking? Why is it shocking when your child at 13 becomes a murderer? When your daughter at 14 becomes pregnant? When your child at 16 becomes a prisoner? When your daughter at 18 becomes violent? Why are these things a shock to you when all you did was put in them violence and negative energy from the birth, from the womb? So stop being shocked at the violence that you see today. The stuff you're seeing today is a freaking example of what you've been putting in them from birth.
Yes. Okay. Wow. Okay. Okay. Thank you for that. And thank you for your passion. Someone asked, what do you feel about corporal punishment? How do you feel about corporal punishment?
Sometimes it's needed. Depends upon the circumstance. I think that certain things absolutely require corporal punishment. For example, a rapist. I believe that people who rape women and molest kids deserve corporal punishment. I absolutely do. So when they say that all sin is the same, well, that's not necessarily true for those scriptural people, because even the Bible had one that was a little far worse than the other. For example, the Bible says that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is an unforgivable sin. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is an unforgivable sin. That's what the word says, right? For those scholarly or Bible, you know, Christians, that's what it says. So clearly there is some distinction between some sins, right? For example, a child who steals a candy bar out of the store does not deserve the same consequences of a child who commits a murder or a rape, or a man who steals a candy bar from the store and a man who commits a rape. I think those are two separate violations of extreme natures, and they deserve certain punishments that are extreme in differentiality.
Okay. Another question is asking, how do you work with the parents? Do you have parents in classes or workshops?
Both. Yeah, we said we have both. As a matter of fact, we have currently, my team is creating a parent workshop as we speak, and it's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be transforming. I guarantee you it's going to be something that you guys have never seen or heard. That is coming very soon. It's going to deal with raw truth and examples of what parenting looks like. It's going to talk about things of the mistakes that parents innocently make sometimes with social media, with pictures, with men, how they have relationships, things that are being said to your child, things that can be said to your child that will incentivize them. Like, how do you wake your child up in the morning? Do you wake your child up by screaming at him or her first thing in the morning? Get up, get out of bed, get dressed, get ready for school. You're arguing. Or are you waking your child up with some form of prayer? Or if you don't believe in prayer, speaking life into them. Just waking them up on a positive note of just saying, hey, I love you. You know, you're a blessing to me. I'm so glad you were born. I'm so glad you're here. Even if you're not with the Father, even if you and the Father don't get along and don't in a relationship, you still should speak words of life and inspiration into your children. You still should be saying, I love you every day to a child. We don't even do that with children. Children don't hear, I love you every day. Hell, the adults don't even hear it. And that's a beautiful thing to say to somebody. Hey, I love you. I love you just because you're a human being, just because you're decent. You know, just because I love you, because you're a good person, just because you know what I mean? We don't say things like that. I love you. You know, it's a very soft word to say, but we're quick to say, I hate you. We're quick to say, you know, you're disgusting or you suck. We're quick to say that, but we struggle to say, I love you. And that's a problem.
Okay. One of the things that I like about your program, it reminds me of an in-house Scared Straight program. I remember when I was younger, I went to a Scared Straight program, and it really terrified me. So when I seen your videos, it reminded me of that. And I came up with the, you know, the thing that you are in-home Scared Straight program. What would you like to say about that?
I'm sorry, you say about in school? I'm sorry, I missed that last part.
Like, when I seen your videos, it reminded me of the Scared Straight program, but you just do it at home. You come into the homes and do it. I don't know if you was familiar. I'm sure you're familiar with the Scared Straight programs.
Some of them were good, but some of them are very ineffective to be reality. And I also speak about, I applaud people who want to take the job of mentoring. But a mentoring is not a soft thing to do. That's not something to play with. A mentor is somebody that's a serious charge on your life because you're engaging someone's child. You know, you're engaging somebody's thinking, and that's a very serious thing. So some of these people have put mentoring programs together for the sole purpose of getting funding, to get money only. Some of these people are calling themselves mentors only to shake hands with the mayor and legislatures, and to be seen on photo ops, you know, in city council and in mayor's office and with, you know, all these different people, you know what I mean? Because it's optically a beautiful thing and they get funding like that, you know what I mean? But I want to see the work, you know what I mean? When you talk about being a mentor, that should be your Instagram, your Facebook, your conversation should all be child-filled. I don't give a damn about seeing you with a legislator. I don't care about seeing you with the mayor shaking his hand and kissing him and got something from him. I don't give a damn about that. Show me what you're doing with the children. I don't give a damn about your cathedral. I don't care about how your mega church. I don't care about how many people you got packed in on Sunday. I don't care about none of that stuff as a leader. I want to see the change in the people. I want to see the change in the children. That's what I want to see. And that's the problem, is that so many of these leaders, so-called today, and these so-called mentors today, not all of them. Some of them are doing great work. You hear me? Some of you mentors, I applaud you. I want to work with you. But a lot of you, I know you're faking. I'm calling you out because I see what you're doing. And it ain't with the children, and it damn sure ain't with the community. You show up to an engagement, and you're doing photo ops. You're more concerned with photo ops. Hell with the photo ops. Hell with the likes. Hell with the followers. Let's get to the children. And that's what I want to see.
Okay. Avon, do you have any more questions?
Okay. But what I want to do is, I don't have questions for you, Myron, but I want the listening audience, and I want Myron to let everybody know how they can donate to your cause, how they can help you. So give us all your information where you can be reached right now.
Let me say this. I don't receive funding yet because I haven't pushed it, nor am I really looking for it. My team is. I have a team that are very special people and volunteers who are pushing for funding, and we have a lot of good potentials that are wanting to throw lots of millions at us. Let's put it that way, from several different entities. So I'm not worried about the money like that because we don't receive any. I don't. A lot of stuff comes out of my pocket, or the parents pay for certain things, you know what I mean? But I don't make any money like this. I'm not rich, but God provides for me very well. And I'm humble in saying that. I don't need to compete with your pockets. And a lot of people do that in these organizations. They want to compete with who's getting the money. See, that tells me that you have issues in other areas. You're trying to make up with your money with, you know, what you're lacking, you know, maybe here and, you know, I don't know what you're lacking, but, you know, so for me, if you want to help me, be a mentor, an effective one, love your child. That way I ain't got to come into your home. If you stop making the mistakes you're making, it'd be more effective as a parent. You know what I mean? For those who, you know, take time out to understand, you know, what you're doing wrong, study your life, your home, take charge of your home, then you won't have to worry about calling me into your home. And that helps me for you just to get right. That would be me. That's really what I want. I don't want your money. I don't. I need it. I need it, but I don't want it. You hear me? I want you to help yourself, help your family, help your child not go on the streets and be a gang member. Help your daughter be a lady, proud of her black self or white self, proud of who she is with a big nose, skinny nose, big butt, small butt, her hair kinky straight. Be proud of herself. And that way we ain't got to worry about all this other madness that's going on and what the next 10 years of our future looks like with our children. If you just do your job as an effective parent, you'll work me out of my job, and I'm quite okay with that.
Okay. But I understand that, but Avon and myself, we spoke about this earlier, that we do want, because, you know, as a community, we spend billions of dollars in everything else, okay? So this is something that you clearly is doing. This is not a scam. People can see you on theprisondoctor.org, and also www.theprisondoctor.org, a website, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes.
Okay. And is that Dr. D-O-C-T-O-R or just D-R?
It's D-R. So my Instagram, yes. Yeah, the prison D-R, doctor like that, not spelled out.
Okay.
My email is spelled out. On my email now is theprisondoctor@gmail.com, D-O-C-T-O-R. But all my other platforms, the prison doctor is always D-R.
Okay. So we encourage people to go to find him on his website. And do you have a donation button on the website that they can contribute to?
My executive director is saying yes, that I do have one.
Okay. So, yeah, we want people to go there and give $10, $20, $5. We spend money every place else. So, please.
Yeah, I spend thousands out of my pocket and my resources and from private funders, people that, you know, give me little contributions here and there to do the work that I do, and I do it every day. I do nothing else. I'm also a certified black belt in Taekwondo. A lot of people don't know that, but I'm also a self-defense instructor, but I don't even do that no more. My work every day, 7 days a week, 24/7, is dealing with kids. I fly all over the country. I drive all over Georgia. I mentor kids sometimes for free when they can't afford anything. I'll do it if I can, but this is what I've dedicated my life to, period, nothing else.
Okay, and that explains why you go into dangerous households. So, yeah, that explains that, but thank you, yeah. So the show is about to end. We got like one minute left, but I would like to say thank you, the prison doctor, for coming on. You said you promised us that you was only going to give us 1 hour, but you end up staying for 2 hours, so thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Support and being here with us today. We're really grateful that you came on our show.
Well, thank you, guys. I wish you much success. You both are lovely people, and you are great interviewers. You did a great job. You had me sweating a little bit, so you did your job.
Well, you're a black man. We don't want to have you sweat too much.
Absolutely. But everybody, love yourself. Be proud of who you are. Love yourself and speak truth to power. Do not be afraid. Don't let them shut you down. Find another way to go. If they shut one door, go in another way. Speak truth to children. Stand on your principles, your morals, your values at all costs, even with your life. And that's what men should be doing.
Thank you so much. Thanks a lot. We appreciate you. Okay. Listeners, we'll be back online January 8th. We love you. Peace and blessing. God bless you all. Until January 8th, we'll hear from you then. Avon, you want to close out?
Thank you again, Myron, the prison doctor, for taking time to share with us and the audience, our listening audience. Thank you to the listening audience for coming in and your contributions. We love you all. And with that, we want to say thank you and peace.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.